again, guys. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night. We're just laughing because we're being stupid avoid the recorder.
Good start for that one, eh?
I reckon we keep it, though, because I think people will...
Good afternoon, good evening, and good morning. What does that mean? You're like, you start from the morning, and then you have the evening.
What do I say? Is that what I say?
Yeah, you start like,
good afternoon.
Good afternoon, good evening, and good morning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Fucking idiot, right here.
No, because it used to be good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. But that's a bit too much.
Well, where are you going with this?
But who used to say that? Was it a comedian? Who was it?
So, I don't know.
Was it Truman Show? No, wait. I think it was the Truman Show.
That was a comedian show. You didn't understand that movie. You didn't like it.
It's a stupid movie.
Yeah, it's a stupid movie. Yeah.
Truman Show. I watched that with you at the minute, because I had no idea what the hell was going on.
You're like, where's Jim Carrey's funniness? Where's his wackiness?
Like, why are they all sad and things like this?
Hang on. Because that was, I mean, Jim Carrey did have a bit of a like, like a bit of a crazy moment.
I didn't like
But
that
you were like, where's his craziness
But the
from?
Ending, it's like, so he goes through a door and he's in life now? Or
no, he goes through the door and he comes into our world because they had built, spoilers for this,
For the working man.
For the working man, right here, the grey shirt.
Drinking a Mother original, but it's the new can.
New can, eh?
For those of you who know in Australia.
Thanks for the fucking interruption, Tom.
I want to be sponsored by an energy drink.
Do you?
Yeah, because I had Rockstar last time.
Yeah,
This time, V, you should be next.
Nothing. Tom doesn't mind a good V. Down at the VD clinic.
Shut up.
Hello.
So what were you saying about Truman Show? What were you saying?
Truman Show, he pretty much...
Yeah, when he goes through the door.
He goes through the door. He's coming into our world because he grew up, he was an orphan, and he was pretty much said, no one wants this kid.
Yes.
Let's make him a movie star. Let's make him a TV star. Where they followed him from a child being brought, and they said, he came into this world.
I'm going to read this. When did that come out, I reckon?
Probably 97, I think.
Because I reckon I was quite young. And I remember going...
Well, you came in with...
From Liar Liar. He's from The Mask.
Mask. Oh, my God. The Cable Guy.
That's actually a good movie. I like that
fucking
movie.
Fucking sucks, that movie. That's terrible.
The Truman Show.
Yeah. It's The Cable Guy.
I actually watched that with Matthew, probably last year. And he goes... That's always the question about the door. Was like, so what happens? Where's the Truman Show at the end.
Yeah, he goes into our world.
1998.
98.
So we were like 12. I was 12 when I saw that.
You go, I don't understand this. I have feelings. I have feelings.
But it's a stupid movie.
Why is he not silly? Why is he not the silly one? No, because that's how it is.
Here we go. I just want to read the description on Google. Mm. He doesn't know it, but everything in Truman Burbank's Jim Carrey's life is a part of a massive TV set.
Yeah.
Executive producer Christoph, played by Ed Harris, orchestrates The Truman Show. A live broadcast of Truman's every move captured by hidden cameras.
Every move. So
Christoph tries to control Truman's mind, even removing his true love, Sylvia, from the show and replacing her with Meryl. As Truman gradually discovers the truth, however, he must decide whether to act on it. Look at its voting.
What?
On 94% on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's an excellent movie. It's very clever. It doesn't end with him walking out into that door. He's, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
That's the thing.
No, and then after it goes to the two, these two heavy set gentlemen who are the security guards, and they're watching on their small screen. They go, what else is on? And that's how it ends. It pretty much shows that how we watch television back then and now.
Yeah, no.
How we would just go, oh, okay, that show's over. Yeah. What's the next thing we got to watch?
But is it the real? Even Matty goes, that's like the whole Big Brother thing. You know, are we being recorded on everything? On our iPhones, on our iPads?
Looking at my camera.
Is there a camera in there now?
I would like to think not, because if there's someone watching me, they'd be like, fuck. Is that what he's got?
Just going to the toilet, dog.
Yeah, he's been doing that for nearly 5 hours.
Oh, everyone's out. It's just me home. You porn. What's the other? Red Tube X Hamster.
Yeah.
With a big iPad.
No one jerks off to a giant iPad, Tom.
It's on the screen.
Hang on. No, it's today because everyone's got smart televisions.
You don't have a TV.
Why not? You got this giant TV.
iPad, man. iPad mini. This actual iPad.
iPad mini, man.
This one we're recording on.
Yuck.
Don't touch it, though.
I'd rather not. That's
milk that's on the side there, though. Hear that, guys? He swallowed the vomit then, and then he burnt it out.
We haven't said what
we haven't, actually.
What is it?
Welcome, guys, to the
Brocast.
So for those of you who do not know what this show is,
what the hell's wrong with you?
This is the Brocast Podcast. It's a show that Alan and I started in October of last year. We are the internet's, I was going to say favorite podcast, but we have
internet sensation.
Well, we're getting up there.
Oh, we're up there, all right.
This is episode 7 of our podcast. For those of you who have been listening to episodes, you'll most likely be listening to them on Apple, iTunes, and or SoundCloud.
Yep.
You can also check us out on Twitter at The Brocast. That's T-H-E-B-R-O-K-A-S-T. Also check us out on Instagram at The Brocast Podcast. Before we actually talk about what this episode's about, Alan and I both want to give a bit of a shout out to everyone who recently followed our show. Last month when we did our episode about favorite childhood cartoons, we had probably 600, 6,500 followers, right?
No, not even that. Maybe just even smaller.
It was a pretty small number.
We had a small number of people following us.
Then to see it now, where I think we're at 1,138 followers.
It has skyrocketed
since that episode.
Unbelievable.
So today in Australia, this is actually Thursday. We record our episodes on the last Thursday of every month. So in exactly 4 weeks, we've grown by, you know, what, nearly 600, 700 followers in that time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because I think not only is this show getting out there, but I've also had a chance to actually follow and listen to tons of other podcasts around pop culture, looking at things like DC Comics, Marvel Comics, looking at things like the zombie-related genre that I've been trying to get into a little bit, getting into zombie movies. But we've really grown, and that's again thanks to you guys who are retweeting and liking all our posts and also following us and what we do on Instagram. Now, for those of you who did vote, we did release the poll that came out on the week after last episode.
Yes.
So what we do is we released one topic 1 week leading up to the last week, where it's 7 days, the poll is open.
Can we do one thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Is give people sort of a peek behind the curtain.
Mm-hmm.
Tom actually thinks up all these ideas.
Yeah.
Where I sit back and do sweet fuck all. Where I'm,
Tom's like that.
Tom's good like that. Where he pretty much goes, "All right, what's the subject?" So he'll come to me and say, "What do you think?" And I'll go, "I'll get back to you." And that's about 6 hours later, and go, "Hey Al, you were meant to write back to me.
That thing you were going
to
get back to me.
What? I'm going to get to bed.
Oh,
I feel
sick.
Yeah, I feel. I've got to use the bathroom.
I can see you through the camera.
Alan. Oh, no one wants to see that.
Hey Al, you got a boil there, have you?
It is time. No, it's not. So Tom comes up with the ideas, and then he'll say to me, we'll talk to each other in the chat, and he'll go, bro. So he says to me, bro, do you want to know what we're going to be talking about? And I go, no. I said, I'm just happy to sit back and actually wait and see what we're going to talk
just
about.
Just like everyone in the digital
just
world.
Just everyone, like everyone else wants to know, okay? So do you want to drop what we're going to... What were the subjects?
So the first one that we dropped was the Marvel Civil War from 2006, which was a comic that both Alan and I read quite a lot. And this is, again, back before we even knew what an iPad was, before you could even get comics on an iPad. This is the old hardcover going by each individual issue.
Soft copy ones back in the day. Yeah.
And I think it might have been even Minotaur. We might have gone to get them, I think,
I've got a lot when of they mine came out.
So that was topic number one.
Mm-hmm.
Topic number two was Return to Oz.
Yeah.
So that was a classic movie that Alan and I grew up as kids. If you've listened to the Low Cut Crew podcast, there's a couple of episodes when Alan talks about, as a kid, watching The Wizard of Oz, the original movie with Judy Garland. And that there was a movie that Alan and I watched at a younger age. When we got to kind of, I think it was maybe 8 and up, one day we found this Return to Oz movie that our uncle had.
Mm.
And that's one movie that Alan and I watched, and to this day, still creeps me out.
It's a haunting movie.
Yeah, when I think of the Wheelers, when I hear, or was it when you see the woman switching heads?
Mombi is with a lady, one of the most beautifulest women on the planet, but she wants the heads of the most beautiful women in Oz. It's an incredibly creepy movie. And you know what the best thing about it is, though?
What's that?
Disney.
Yeah, it wasn't. I didn't
know
that.
It's a Disney movie.
When I was researching to try and find the logo, it's Disney's Return to Oz, and I'm like, what?
Disney
actually made that movie?
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
Thought, okay, so all right, that's the idea though for that Return to Oz was actually to do a companion. So we're going to watch the movie and then give views while watching.
We were going to do the commentary, weren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'd have the TV up, but we would able to hear us. We would have the subtitles on, and just to say, okay, what's going on?
And we'd even pause it. Like, if you were going to watch it too, you could pause it and we could discuss the scene. And I think what happened was that was actually, when we first started the poll, that actually took off very quickly. It did. So that was something I thought was going to win. And then the last one was a previous topic that was on the, I think, episode 6 poll, which was favorite pro wrestlers. And that was one that Alan and I, again, both pro wrestling fans from, you know, younger days of the old Attitude era, and even before then, as we got older, we started going back looking at the vintage stuff from the 1980s. But I think we're going to look at, you know, possibly plucking out two or three favorite matches.
That was the idea. I came to you. Yeah. I said, hey, if you wanted to, if the wrestling one wins, you and I, you choose your favorite match, any wrestling match, and you and I would sit back. And if it was on the WWE Network or anything else, like, you know,
YouTube
or New Japan or anything of those wrestling sites that we can go to, we can watch it on the big screen. And again, do our own sort of commentary to it while you do one and I do one, and then we'll pretty much discuss, and the people will sync up with us.
Even though, like, we're going to reveal who actually won the poll, but with that said, just because they didn't win the poll doesn't mean that they're not a future topic.
That's right, because
so potentially the wrestling one or Return to Oz or Civil War, they could be potential topics that we can put up.
Well, there was things on Twitter, wasn't there?
Yeah.
You had people on Twitter going, I don't know what to choose. Like, you put a lot of people between a rock and a hard place.
Oh, yeah.
Which was kind of cool because...
Very cool.
Again, you've got the subjects of Marvel. Marvel's big event that happened back in 2006 with the Civil War. And then you've got one of the most creepiest Disney movies ever created. But incredibly,
even to this day, and I'm like, 30s now? That still scares me. When I'm out putting the bins out, if I hear...
You're in there without checking.
No way.
And that movie, and to have talking about a big thing because of wrestling, because of something you and I just recently
were at. I reckon it's pretty big now too. Like, it's actually bigger than what it's been in recent years, I think.
Back in the day when you and I, back in 96 and 97, where if you even said, oh, I like wrestling.
You like wrestling.
Yeah, poofed wrestling. Up. You like watching... No, pretty much it was like, you like to watch men wrestle each other. You like to watch them touch each other.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, now...
it's all cool.
I was like, oh, you like wrestling? Yeah, John Cena's my favourite.
But that's like comic books now. Mm-hmm. Like I was saying to Maddie about Iron Man and, you know, Civil War and Cap and, you know, Thor. Back in comic, we used to love comics. You get bashed if you like comics, get called a geek. Well, now everyone's going to the movies. But the thing is, people who are watching the movie haven't even read the comic book.
No.
All they know is the movie.
I was like, oh, it's got Chris Pratt in it. Oh, that one's got Chris Evans. Oh,
Hemsworth. Let's go say it.
Yeah, he's an Aussie.
Chris's, I noticed too. Hemsworth, Chris. Evans, and then Pratt.
Pratt, yep.
So if your name's Chris, you could potentially be in a Marvel movie.
Exactly.
Just say your name is Chris.
Chris Mwanda Hana Hana will be known as the new Wakandan king, known as the Black Panther. Yeah. What's your name? Wanda, Wanda, Wanda.
We'll just call you Chris.
We'll just call you Chris. Yeah. But my name is Mohandas Shindukha.
You're not Chris.
Your name is no Chris, okay?
Mm-hmm. So, who won? With that said, who won the poll after 112 votes? It has all been tallied. We had favourite pro wrestlers coming in third with 21%. Return to Oz, 22%.
Ooh.
And today's topic, which is Marvel's Civil War from 2006... with 57% of
Jesus
the votes.
Jesus Christ, what?
Which means I reckon over 60 votes, or probably 60, 70 votes, went just to that. On the
Jeez. Podcast.
So that's this month's topic. So Al and I were just chatting before we actually hit the big red button to start recording to talk about, it's such a big event.
Huge.
Like you had the main, I think it was 7 to 8 issues that ran the main story.
The main story was only 7, and I collected them all.
And then you had the tie-ins. And Al and I were looking before how many times, and I actually think we were looking at the tie-in list, and I reckon you nearly had them all. Because I remember we have that old tub at the house that has so many of them in there.
And these were none of the paperbacks. No. These were
the proper single issue comics.
And it was when I just got back into comics, because when I was younger, I didn't really collect that much comics.
Yep.
Yes, I did have the likes of Batman, The Dark Knight Returns, those type of series. But this was something big. Mm. This was something like, okay, hang on. Two of your favorite heroes, Captain America and Tony Stark, Iron Man, they're not going to be fighting together. It's fighting with each other against a common foe, like Thanos or Galactus or Murdoch or someone big like that. Someone who's going to
Krang the Conqueror?
Yeah. Apocalypse or something like that. No. They're going to be fighting each other.
Mm.
And it was like, what the shit?
I remember the teasers. Remember that it was just a single shot. Whose side are you on?
Whose side are you on? And
it was like that you had the red or the blue. Mm. And I remember when it came out, our old crew, like Jules was into it then. I think, don't know if Damo might have been.
I remember many, many, many nights of you and I having a few drinks together and just like ripping to shreds at each other going, no, fuck you. Yep. I'm with Cap. And you would turn around and go, fuck you. I'm with Iron Man.
I've always been a fan. I just want to do a quick selfie, Al. We can put it up on the Twitter.
Yeah, what are we doing?
Just want to do a selfie. Sorry, guys. Just a live promotion. We're just
live recording.
But let me just fix me man bun, guys.
This is put it up on your Twitter now.
So check it out, guys. Yeah, retweet it.
What is it? Yeah, retweet at the Brocast.
Yes. Hashtag man bun, hashtag nothing else, guys. What do you got there? The original what?
The original...
Oh, it's Mario.
Yeah, it's my Mario shirt.
Do a photo of that really quickly. Right, and then we'll come back to Civil War, guys. It's promotion. That's me.
It's promotion. 1981 wasn't around then.
Look at him. Look at Alan, guys. You'll see you in a sec.
Friggin' poser.
So again, you know, it was one of those comics where, you know, it was choose your own side. Yeah. Whose side are you going to be on?
Yeah.
And it was almost, I remember when they were announcing it, was why are they doing it?
Why were they
what's,
doing
what's the actual what event? Had, what's what happened that's done place? It?
Why did but they do
you
it?
Think beforehand, like, the comics going on before that, you had, you know, Avengers Dissembled. That was crazy storyline. You know, Scarlet Witch, they're going to try and rewrite things. Then you had the House of M.
House of M.
Yeah.
I could talk about this. I read that comic.
That's a feature one, too. I was actually thinking, I was starting to plan out future episodes, and I thought House of M was a really good one. Almost like Civil War in terms of how many tie-ins came into it.
That's one of those comics as well, too, that's actually quite emotional.
Yeah, I was.
Because you look at, not spoilers, and then if we're ever going to talk about it, we'll talk about it in the future, with a certain character getting everything he wanted in life. But in the reality world, in our world that we live in, everything was just shattered in front of him. Like, he had everything in this other universe, or this other world, this fantasy world. And back into our world, he just had everything was gone. And
Awesome comic book.
Incredibly well done. And the story of it is very powerful as well, too, with just sort of focusing on two factions. Similar to this, of the Civil War. Comic book, this one is pretty much like, oh, hang on, this one faction over here is saying, but this one needs to die.
Yeah.
No, we won't allow it. She's part of us. She's one of us. Yeah, yeah. No, she needs to die because she's fucking up reality. She's fucking up a lot of people. She's caused a lot of chaos.
And it baffles us, would they ever do that in the movies? Like in the cinematic, will they ever go that far with the Scarlet Witch character? What's he saying? Didn't he say Josh? Was it the actor?
Josh Whedon.
Yeah, he's saying that they've got him planned to, like, you know, 2020 plus.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the next, you know, 5 or 6 years, they've got him ready. The stories.
Well, they did do a Civil War movie.
Yes.
It did sort of copy some elements of the book, but not to an extent where it was just like.
Well, they kind of hinted the whole Vision and Scarlet Witch romance.
Yeah.
That was a big story of the House of M.
But one thing
also that was on the road to Civil War was the Secret War. Remember the Secret War, the one that Nick Fury story? That was a really good one. I actually didn't even know about that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was featuring, I think, Cat, Wolverine. It's a very small comic, but it's around how Nick Fury was removed from S.H.I.E.L.D. and how it sets up this main big story.
Mm.
So what I think we do is I actually think maybe we look at what was the very first comic that started off this whole thing.
Yeah.
And I think it was the Road to Civil War. And it's an alumni story.
The Illuminati.
What did I call it?
Illumini. I don't know.
What am I talking about? I said alumni.
Yeah, what's alumni?
That's like when you win an award.
All right. The alumni goes to Thomas Harrison for great podcasting.
Man bun, guys. Man bun 2017.
Okay, fellas. I've had a few drinks.
Haven't said anything about it this episode.
I'm trying not to look at it.
It's cool, isn't it?
What the hell is this little queef thing?
No, it doesn't.
It's out of control.
No, it doesn't. I'll show you.
It doesn't seem to be a...
Just wait, guys. Just tying up the man bun.
Bit of a technical difficulty.
Actually, it's more of a top knot than a man bun. It doesn't tie up into the bun yet. So.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Just take it in. Take it in, man.
No, because look, that's silent. That's dead air.
Take it in, man. Jericho style out.
Come on, baby! Ask him!
No, Jericho now on Raw. You know, he says, drink it in, man.
Yeah. I don't watch that I don't watch. Get out. Raw, I don't watch Raw or SmackDown.
You have the network though.
Yeah, I've got the network, but I like to sit back and watch 1997.
I don't watch Total Ballers.
No, I don't watch Total Divas. No, I don't watch Total Divas. I've seen the naked John Cena and Bella thing going online.
What was that thing?
Yeah, and then you know what happens if they get so many followers on their Instagram. Yeah. Get this, guys. I'm talking to the gentlemen and the girls, if you're into that type of thing. If they get to a certain number of followers on their Instagram, I heard this last night, the Bellas are going to do a naked video together.
Like, just talking or...
Like what John Cena and her did, they danced.
But they'll have it out, though.
I know. Assholes.
Don't follow them, guys.
Do it. Come on.
Do it, do it, do it. Some subliminal advertising here, guys.
Do it.
No. Sure, all right, no. So let's start it off. So let me get my device.
My handy dandy notebook.
The device of the Apple.
The Apple.
So let's go back to the very, very first one. Yep. And I want to just talk a little bit about the Road to Civil War comic.
Go for it.
So this was one that I actually probably didn't read as much of the main story, but I know that it was the one that led to the beginning of this actual comic. It does feature the Hulk and the, I'm going to say alumni, the Illuminati. The Who Illuminati. Was in the Illuminati?
Illuminati had Doctor Strange, Mr. Fantastic. It also had Professor X. It was like the greatest minds that were in the Marvel Universe. Did I miss someone?
Who'd you say? Let's see if you can get,
I had Reed Richards, Mr. Fantastic. I had Doctor Strange, Stephen Strange, Professor X, Charles Xavier. That's three.
Yeah.
You
got three more.
Three more. Shit. Okay.
So Tony Stark.
Tony Stark, of course.
There's two more.
Apparently
it's underwater.
Oh, Namor.
Yes.
Namor, the first mutant.
And you don't want him to yell.
Oh, from the Inhumans.
Yes. What's his name now? Come on.
Jesus. No, I don't know.
Black Bolt.
Yeah.
Wonder if they're going to do them in the cinematic universe.
They have.
Have they?
Yeah, in the S.H.I.E.L.D. series.
See, I haven't watched that. They're actually in there.
Agents of
S.H.I.E.L.D. I haven't seen that yet. I've watched anything that's on Netflix. I don't have it.
No, just chill because because they haven't spoken about them yet. I mean, they've talked about
the Did they use the name though?
Inhumans. Okay. The Inhumans is in. They're pretty much. They've spoken about the Inhumans.
Enhanced
humans. Because they can't say mutant. Thanks to the 20th Century Fox.
F you guys.
Pretty much.
F you.
Which was another big thing in the Civil War movie because, again, 20th Century Fox owns the likes of the X-Men and Spider-Man, who played major roles in this comic book series.
Correct.
And when they did the movie, it was like, we can't have any of these people in. But they got Spider-Man for it.
Yeah.
But if they had the likes of X-Men, would have been fantastic.
So maybe let's list some of the tie-ins. Let's list from the Wikipedia. Let's kind of list what some of them were.
All right, cool. I'll lay it down. So we had the Amazing Spider-Man series.
That was really good. So it featured Mr. Parker Goes to Washington, and it features the Iron Spider suit, which was a pretty cool suit, which is gold and red, and had almost like tentacles, kind of like Ock.
Yeah, and heads up, we will probably see that in the new Spider-Man Homecoming movie that will be coming out later this year. We had the Black Panther. Panther series.
Numbers? Does it say that number?
They did from 18 to 25, so it was a few issues did. Going back to the Amazing Spider-Man, they did 153 to 150, so 38, so they had six series of it.
Yeah.
Blade, they only did issue 5.
Interesting.
I've never really gone into... Cable and Deadpool.
Is this a weird comment, Civil War Blade?
Well, maybe they were asking, where do you see yourself, Blade? Yeah.
I don't think you had them. The Blades.
I don't think...
I know you had the Spider-Mans and the X-Mens and the Fantastic
Four. Did you have the Spider-Man? Yeah, Amazing Spider-Man?
We did. I don't think Blade, though.
I didn't have Black Panther or Blade. No. Cable and Deadpool.
Yeah.
Cable and Deadpool was very, very... They took the comical side of it, working together. Captain America, of course, they only did 4. This was just before Civil War hits.
Yeah.
Civil War, there was only a one issue there called Choosing Sides.
Yes.
There was also another one called Battle Damage Report.
That was a good one.
That was good because it was purely just focusing on what us as civilians, as people watching, oh my God, as the Hulkling just picking up a car and then throwing it at the Ant-Man or something.
And with that, there's a new show coming out that Marvel's doing called Damage Control.
There is.
It's coming out this year
or next year. And it's focusing on
The cleanup crew.
Yeah. People are like, oh my god, I've got to clean up after Thor, after we go into a massive fight with the
Shikari. Which is pretty good, because it's like, well, in our world, if it ever existed, what are the humans doing?
Exactly. What did we have? We got the Civil War files. I think
that was more like bios of each character.
Yeah, exactly.
There was no set story.
This was one of my favorites, and it went for 11 series, and it was The Frontline.
Ah, yes.
Which focused on Ben Urich.
Ben Urich,
one of the people who
Daily used, Bugle? Was he Daily Bugle?
He worked for the Daily Bugle, and then went, no, I'm off. I'm setting up my own company. I'm going to do everything by myself. And he had
freelance, I think.
He was a freelance, and he had other people from the cinematic universe, the Marvel universe working with him at all times.
And I think that was so popular when they did the Civil War Frontline. I think there's been other events where they did Frontline again. I don't know if it was Secret Invasion or something, but it was basically the
media's take on what's going on. Yep. It's like sitting back, like every time you put on the news, like Channel 6 is like, and today's news, you know, the Fantastic Four are on the run again. Reed Richards needs his son and all that. What did we also have? Civil War opened the shot sketchbook. No. Yeah. The poster book of Civil War.
Yeah.
Civil War, The Confession.
Mm. That was at the end, eh?
That was at the end.
Yeah.
Civil War X-Men, 1-4.
They were really good, those ones. You had all them.
I did.
Yeah. And that features Emma Frost and Cyclops.
But it was pretty much the take of where the X-Men, where do they see each other? Because we'll explain soon what happens in issue one, why the X-Men involved, and why they're, and then they go, no, we're not going to getting involved. We're not taking sides. We are mutants. We have enough problems working with the humans. Hate us. The what were we called to them? The primates.
Humans. What are they called?
Homo sapiens.
Homo sapiens.
We are Homo sapiens to them. You know, we are just apes. We also had Civil War, the Young Avengers. Yep. And the Runaways.
I've even heard a rumour too about a Runaway movie that's been talked about.
I heard
about
that as well. That should be interesting. The Fallen Sun.
Yeah.
Spoilers coming up. The death of Captain America.
Yes.
Fantastic Four, Ghost Rider. Ghost Rider was excellent.
That was cool. That was very good.
It was pretty much like, it was like Captain America's team and then Iron Man's team going, hey, where do you see Johnny Blaze? Yeah. Where are you going? Because I'm not listening to any of you.
And that's the thing. A lot of it was around people were doing their own thing. It's like, well, I'm not getting involved.
Yeah,
I have no issue with it. Just let me do my thing. I don't want to register, and I don't want to register or not register.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm a demon from hell. Where am I going to register with Tony? We had the Heroes for Hire.
Yes.
So we had the likes of Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, the Night Nurse, all those great characters in that one. We had Iron Man. Only for two series. Then we had Iron Man, Captain America, Casualties of War, which was pretty powerful, that one.
Was a good one.
Moon Knight was another. Miss Marvel.
Moon Knight, they recently brought him back too, because the character was always a bit iffy. Like, I don't think he was that popular with comic book sales, but the way they've done it now is pretty cool. I think it started last year, his new issues that I've checked out. He's got a lot of real big mental health problems, split personalities,
definitely. We had New Avengers, the Illuminati special.
That was good.
Punisher War Journal.
That was good. And that's when there was a different artist too. They were done really differently. Who was his name that passed away last year? Something Dylan? Steve Dylan? Who was it that passed away? He did the Welcome Back Frank and all that stuff. It was a different artist that they used for the Civil War ones.
New Avengers, the Sensational Spider-Man.
Yes.
She-Hulk, Thunderbolts.
Yes.
And it was because it was the original Thunderbolts and then going, no. We're getting Tony Stark saying, get rid of the Thunderbolts.
Yeah.
Let's get the new Thunderbolts.
Very cool. And that's when they had their own separate title that came on after that, when you had the new director of S.H.I.E.L.D. come up in a couple of years to come.
So. We had Winter Soldier. Winter Soldier had a copy of it. Yep. Wolverine, that had six series. I collected these like no tomorrow, and I had different
series. You're always a big fan there of Wolverine. You always loved Wolverine. We were around before that time.
Hmm.
So I was never a Wolverine fan. I was more of a Cyclops guy. Cyclops or Gambit.
Yeah.
Silence there, guys.
No. When you say Summers, the guy is such a dweeb. Like, he's a dweeb. And then you got
Havoc. I like Havoc, though. Havoc's cool.
Havoc was cool. Havoc had problems.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas Summers was just like, my eyes hurt.
He can't help it, Al.
Why? Because he sees crystals.
Shut up. Next. What's next?
Fucking Sook. And then the last one was the X Factor.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other sort of copy onto the X-Men. So that was the big
So you can see things. There, that's a huge tie-in.
Massive.
To the 7 issues, and it's like, hold on. Like, if there's even I remember a pack I read years ago, I got the whole reading list. And it's like, here's the Road to Civil War, mm-hmm. here's Civil War 1, then all these comics, then Civil War 2. So you don't have to just go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You can read all the tie-ins. So what I've got here is I've got issue 1 in front of me.
Yep.
This is the very first issue of the Civil War comic.
Yep.
And it has probably one of the most emotional and probably shocking beginnings I've ever seen in a comic.
Straight off the bat.
Straight away.
Slaps you in the face.
So for those of you who haven't read the comic, go and read it. For those of you who have read it, let's kick it off. So the first thing that we see is the camera crew who were working with, the New Warriors back then? I think they were called the New Warriors. And yeah. They were doing a reality show, which is a show. If you think to around this time, 2006, the reality show craze was happening.
Everywhere.
You had things like Big Brother,
Survivor.
Survivor, all these new shows.
All these shows, it was pretty much like, let's watch hell.
Yep.
Our people suffering, but in a way of like, this is entertainment. Like, they've got to stay on this island. Yeah. They have to stay in this house for 3 months. Or, yeah, this was the buzz back then where everyone wanted to be, like, the only way I'll get famous is to be a reality star.
And you think now, it's almost like everyone, it happens all the time now, everyone's got their own show.
Everyone's got
check it on Netflix, you can check it out online, you can check it out on mainstream TV.
Free to air, everyone has got their own reality
TV series. So it starts off with the New Warriors and Speedball detecting a bunch of criminals in a house that they've been scoping out as a scene for their, or an episode, a new scene of their episode of their TV show. The villains are then alerted that the actual heroes are coming. Then the big fight ensues between them, which features the heroes jumping through the house, brawling with each of the villains. But then it leads to a really good standoff between Speedball and Nitro.
Nitro.
And it was one of the things where I remember reading it, and this was back when it wasn't online, so you'd have to physically turn the pages, and the scuffles is just getting crazy. Wham, and there's a scene where, I forgot the name of the character, I think she's an Antilinian that worked with Nima, and she's the one that takes down Speedball against a school bus. And while you actually look at the scene, I'll show you the picture.
Yeah,
look at the kids playing in the background on the school bus.
There are heroes and villains fighting near a school.
Yeah. And this is something also, you know, this is where I like to see this whole thing of like the damage control show showing this is happening.
Hmm.
And that's like when I watched Man of Steel years ago, I'm like, he has disregard for the entire world.
Everyone's
just flying through between buildings.
Metropolis.
They've fallen down.
And,
like my son Matty goes, he's almost the villain.
Yeah.
I go, why is that? He goes, because he's killing everybody.
Oh, if you go back and just watch,
flying through, and but if you think back to the old 1978 Superman the motion picture,
he was worried.
It doesn't happen like that.
No, he was
smash through buildings and put. You know, he saves people. If a sign falls down, he grabs it. Fires it back up.
There was absolute disregard for everybody else in that movie. But then when they did in Batman v Superman, they actually were just like, hey, pretty much you see at the opening scene is you see Bruce Wayne watching his tower, Wayne Industries, crumble
down.
And he goes, that's why he's after him. And he's angry. So
I think back, you know, when you're looking at this, it showed that rawness to it, that this wasn't a fight in the sky.
Nope.
This wasn't a fight on another planet.
This wasn't in the savage land.
Literally on the street corner. Yep. Next thing you know, there's the quote that Nitro says, you're playing with the big boys now. Yep. And next minute, huge explosion. And then the panel breaks down to see kids playing basketball. Then an outside shot, and then the complete blowing up of it all. The huge explosion happens, and then the comic starts.
You see children playing.
And then after it goes to the next panel, you then see the heroes all standing together, and there's an awesome shot there of Captain America and Iron Man standing there looking at the destruction.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just the school.
Hmm.
It was the entire, all the suburbs of Loretta, huge explosion.
It was a suburban town.
Yeah.
It was like the likes, if you were you're looking at your outside right now, and there's a school down there, and there's a park around the corner, there's an old folks home around there too, there's a place for people with special needs.
Yeah.
Actually, is taken out by Nitro. He absolutely
crazy
destroys everything, including the some of the reality stars.
Yeah.
I'm using quotation marks here.
Yeah.
Of these kids that thought they were heroes, and they thought this is the one way we're going to get famous, and they are blown to bits. They are ripped to shreds, and they the camera crew, everything after that.
Well, some of the things that really featured back then too was you had the X-Men, which was, I think, Marvel Girl was there at the time. Rachel Summers. Was it Rachel Summers? I know it was Rachel. I don't know her last name, though. But she was one of the original Marvel Girl characters at this time. You had Goliath back then too. Before, you know, what happened later on.
Well, we're going to discuss that.
She-Hulk was a main character too. She was the one on Larry King, I think, in the comics.
Well, she discusses it because she is pretty much the lawyer to most of the Marvel universe, as Marvel characters of the Avengers, because she is the Avengers lawyer.
And probably the hardest scene too, if you're going through issue one, when it cuts to the funeral scene, and you see Tony Stark comes outside, and then one thing before the mother spits on Tony Stark, there's a shot where they show the outdoor part of where the funeral is. If you look on the wall, there's photos of all the children. Like, really small little shots, if you see there.
Yeah.
Look there on the wall.
I've read this comic back
and forth. It's in such detail that they've gone into this comic, not just, oh, fight in the sky, rubble come down. This was on the ground. All these lives are dead. All these kids, gone.
Yeah. Heaps of people just wiped out in an instant.
So the mother spits on Tony Stark and almost is putting the blame on him for not doing anything around stopping it.
Allowing this to happen. It is a copy. I see this scene in the the Marvel.
The newest movie, yeah.
The newest movie, Captain America Civil War, where a very similar scene starts with when Tony has just done a big thing for helping these young students build a better world. And as he's coming down, he's waiting at the lift and he sees this woman there talking to her and he thinks she's going to pull a gun on him.
Yeah.
But all she does is, you know, whip out a photo and he says, "You killed my son," and she throws it into his chest.
And it almost is the same, like their own version. Their own cinematic version.
Because in the movie just prior to that, Age of Ultron, the Avengers, they try to help Sokovia.
Yeah.
But no.
It's lifted off the ground, isn't it?
It pretty much kills everyone. And then that's
why. And then dropped down, bang. Yeah.
So this woman's son was basically to go over to Sokovia and to help people. And she pretty much is, "Mr. Stark, you killed my son." Mm. And then pretty much.
And that's what people thought. How would they, were they going to do it this way or were they going to do it a whole different way?
That's what I thought too. Yeah.
But and again, when I watched it, I thought, oh, okay, I get it. It does make sense. You can't feature all the heroes. It doesn't make sense. But it does make sense the way they did it, you know, using, what's the name, Scarlet Witch there and, you know,
People feared Scarlet Witch because it was at the beginning of the movie where after Crossbones.
Crossbones, yeah.
And after he's blown up and then pretty much as he's thrown up to the air, it takes out an entire building.
Yeah.
And then, you know, all these people are dead. Like, to Scarlet Witch is the cause of it. And then that's why Thunderbolt Ross in the movie pretty much goes, "These are all the big things that have happened." You know, what happened in New York?
Yeah.
The Chitauri coming to attack. What happened in
Washington. It was Josh, what's his name? Josh Whedon.
Mm.
It was he's a good take on trying to do it, using the inspiration from the story.
Well, yeah, but you had the likes of, Washington, what happened with the Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
And then what happened in Africa, and also Sokovia, and then what happened in South Africa with the beginning of Captain America Civil War.
Well, two of probably the biggest things that I remember from the issue one. Number one was, the beginning, but also Human Torch. So he gets bashed outside the nightclub.
Yeah.
And gets put into the coma.
Yeah. Well, that's basically, that starts the hatred towards people afraid.
Yeah.
This is how you get people. This is how the media works too. Yeah. And it's basically, he's a hero. Yeah. He's a baby killer.
Yeah. And that's what I think he shouts to him. Yeah,
he's nothing but a baby killer. And he turns around and goes, "What are you talking about?" Then he gets smashed. And then he's his girlfriend at the time.
And they're all wailing into him.
Pretty much, like, and they bash him almost into an inch of his life. And he can't transform into, you know, flame on. But it's basically, he's like, "I had nothing to do with that."
Yeah.
But again, it's just that
way. Do you represent that?
You are one of those unchecked heroes. And this is what you deserve. And they beat the shit out of him.
And then I think what led up next was the old Captain America was given the ultimatum about the idea of, we want to, you know, change the structure.
Miranda Hill. Was it Miranda Hill?
Yeah, Miranda Hill. Maria Hill.
Miranda
Hill. And she's saying to him, you know, the idea of, well, they're going to be starting something up and we need you to come in.
in the Illuminati series, just before they started it, it was planted just very quietly. Tony Stark is said, I'm going to start this, and I want to know if I have the full support of the Illuminati here.
Yeah.
And no one stands up.
Yeah.
And which causes the friction between the X-Men, where Charles Xavier goes, nope, I'm out. Doctor Strange says, I'm going back to the Sanctorum. Yeah. I have I don't want to have anything to do with this.
Yeah.
Black Bolt just looks at him and shakes his head and says, no, I don't want to have anything. Well, he pretty much implies, I do not want to have anything to this, and then goes back to his back to the moon, because that's where that's where they live. And
Namor.
And Namor, pretty much, no.
Yeah.
I mean, he likes the idea of it. But he goes, I have nothing to do with it. I don't want... I wash my hands of this.
I love the artwork done in that too. It's really good artwork. In the
Incredibly well done.
I was going to say alumni. Illuminati, guys.
Illuminati, Tom. Come on. I'd like to give the Illuminati to myself. Great podcaster. Up. I'm the greatest podcaster
on the planet. So, what in that main scene was, again, he doesn't decide to join Maria Hill and ends up fighting all the soldiers and ends up, you know, jumping out of the helicarrier.
Greatest ending to it is when he jumps out... of the helicarrier, lands on a jet.
A jet and rides it.
And the guy says, God damn it, what the hell was that?
Yeah.
And what does he do is classic Captain America, because he is old school, because he's from the 30s, from the 40s, but old school, where you pretty much have to respect. And
He says, keep flying, son, and watch that potty mouth.
Watch that potty mouth. Because it's like the opening scene to Age of Ultron, where he goes, language.
Yeah.
And he goes, hang on, can we just address that? Because that's one of the first lines in that movie is Tony Stark saying shit.
Yeah.
He goes, shit! And then basically Captain America going, language.
Yeah.
He goes, can we address that? He goes, oh, never going to hear it. Never hear the end of it.
And then issue one ends with Hank Pym, Mr. Fantastic, and Iron Man saying, leave Captain America to us. After the president, which heavily looks like George W. Bush
too. It was, because
when they actually did that comic book back in 2006. So again,
Bush was in power.
Pretty big opening part of the story there. So issue two is really, it starts off with, I think they show the Vulture in the sewer. Yeah. It's like, who the hell's tied this fella up and, you know, beating the crap out of him? And
it's someone as the...
Because there were so many sub-stories going on at the same time. Hmm. So you didn't actually know who to actually concentrate on.
Well, that's how you... That's how they made the money with this series. Because you wanted to know why are these characters getting here? Why are these guys getting beat up? And who's speaking to them? And
this is when you had people like, I think it was Hank Pym, She-Hulk, Mr. Fantastic, Miss Marvel. This is before the Mighty Avengers comic. But they were trying to be the ones that, it's okay, guys, it's all good.
We are working. We are working with you. We are the government. We are with you. Yep. We are working, not against you. And there were the people like, oh my God.
Yep.
They are the heroes. These are the heroes that we want. Yep. They are registered. And then over here, you've got Captain America. And he's ragtag of vigilantes. They're the ones that are causing chaos.
And then you start to see the fractured relationship between Mr. Fantastic and the Visible Woman too.
Which is because,
again, he's all about, you know, Mr. Fantastic, Reed, is always about the Registration Act, getting it started.
But this is what it needs to be.
And then you've got Sue Storm wanting to go to the hospital to see her brother, because he's nearly dead. And
well, he's like, no, it's fine. And he basically is, I'm focusing on this, but your brother is not that important right now. Even though he's been... beaten to an inch of his life. But again, no.
Priorities.
And which is kind of sad.
And I think he says, you know, send my love to Johnny or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, as a throwaway comment as he's walking
around. Yeah, he's like, send my love
to him.
On your way. Okay, I'm busy.
So the Registration Act officially actually gets passed. For those of you unfamiliar with what the Act was proposing, it was, again, for heroes to identify themselves to the government.
Yep.
To literally unmask, go on the books as an actual employee. Almost like an FBI, CIA agent. So you can still do your duties, that's fine, no one's stopping you doing that, but can be held accountable for what takes place.
You have to take your mask off, you have to give your real name, you have to get, you know, your persona, your character, the person that you were portraying, who you are, it will now be put onto government books.
So with that being said, with the Registration Act, some of the first people you see getting chased is the Young Avengers, so Patriot, again, that leads to them being bombed up in a building, then being arrested. While being carried away, you find that the actual driver isn't the actual driver, it's actually Steve Rogers, and they're actually then transported to a new base. which is the underground headquarters that has been specifically made up for the Resistance, they were going by the name there.
Yes.
Which was against Sam Wilson and Captain America trying to build the team together, mm-hmm. and now they have the Young Avengers joining them as well. So, probably the big thing from that comic was with Peter Parker. Do you want to talk about what happened there?
Well, this hit media all over the world.
Yeah.
Like, this was the big, big thing. Like, I remember seeing it, because we live down here in Australia.
Yeah.
This actually was on, like, Channel 9, Channel 7.
Like the death 7. Of Superman. That got media.
Yeah. But down here was just, like, big thing coming up in comic books today, yeah. guys. Here we go. We're unmasking Spider-Man.
And it wasn't like a alternative universe or a one-shot story. This was it. Peter Parker showing himself.
Pretty much, yeah. And that also follows into the Mr. Parker Goes to Washington
yes.
storyline, where he and Tony team up, and he pretty much plants the idea in Peter's young heads by going, well, people need to know. This is how things... I mean, Cap is a dinosaur. This is his way of dealing with the world. Like, he's got no one to worry about. You know, he's got all his family...
Start thinking about more than just yourself.
Yeah. Where Cap is pretty much very selfish, where he looks at him going, he's got nothing, no one to worry about. No one knows. No, he's got no family.
Mm.
Whereas Pete, in Peter's life, he's got Mary Jane, he's got Aunt May, he's got, at that time, if he was still good, Harry Osborn.
Yeah.
All his friends, all his protectors, the people he needs to be around. And this is the protection, Peter. These are the people you need to look after. Where Captain America would look at that and go, well, you're putting him in danger, Tony. You're putting him in danger, Peter. So then
it makes you think who's doing the right choice.
It, exactly. And that's what was so groundbreaking about this story. And it made you go, oh, hang on. And it was great, too, because there was a lot of, back in the day, internet forums about going, I am Team Cap or I am Team Iron Man. Yeah. And like
it's
I said,
definitely going, a real split. It was a big
split. You and I back in the day were just like, no, you and I remember it's a very heated comic at the talks. We would have a few drinks.
But it was at the end of each issue would go, hold on, do you agree with that? Yeah. Why Iron Man's leading it this way?
Oh, I've got no fucking idea. And it's not the right way because we're putting our family and our friends in harm's way. But again, this is that big comic book where they unmasked Spider-Man.
And I think he says in his line, he talks about how, you know, since he was like 15 years old, he's been Spider-Man. They take the mask off and says who his name is.
And one of the greatest things, because they show...
And if he has any questions, I think he says at the end of the comic.
They do a couple of panels of, like, Mary Jane and Aunt May watching, going, oh my God, he's going to do it. And then Jonah Jameson, Peter Parker's boss of the Bugle, pretty much starts watching and, like, he goes... And then Betty Brant comes up and goes, Mr. Jamie, goes, for God's sake, shut up. We're watching something right here. And he goes, I will fire you on the spot. And pretty much it's like he shuts her down and everyone's there. And Robbie's there. Everyone that works for the Bugle. And they're all watching this small television. And as he takes the mask off, they go back to the panel of Jonah and he's on the floor. Yeah. Like, and everyone's like, oh my, he fainted. But for this long, for 10 years, he's pretty much employed this young man in photos, like, I want pictures of Spider-Man, do it now! And he's taking photos, and he's like, this whole damn time. And they said, I hate Peter Parker, and I hate Spider-Man for what he stands for. And he goes, I've been duped.
And that's probably disappointing, too, is that if you end up seeing the next storyline, what was the One More Day, which changed that all and deleted that, which was one of the worst storylines probably ever made in Spider-Man, where they took that away.
Yeah.
Where I think it was the devil or something, he sacrifices his soul to the devil to protect, you know, Mary Jane and Aunt May. So then they reverse it all, that he never actually came out and unveiled.
Yeah.
It's like, well,
it was just a waste of everything time. But again, it got big media dancing over in American television and also down here in Australia.
So it seems like issue 3 really was focusing on Tony Stark trying to build a team. So again, he's trying to talk to Emma Frost.
It goes to the X-Mansion. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you see the big Sentinels walking around in the background as all the kids are playing.
It makes you really think on that one. These giant mechanical robots were here to protect. You're like, no, not the Sentinels was something completely different with working with the X-Men. It was like, these are mutant destroyers. But if they do, just after Tony Stark is talking to Emma Frost, someone approaches him.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember who it was?
It's Bishop.
He says, can we talk?
Hey, Mr. Stark, can we talk? It's like, what's Bishop doing? And then
you start to see as well the building of the Resistance. You actually start to see who's with Cap. So you see now, you know, Hercules is there.
Yes.
Daredevil's there, and also Goliath. And they've got some fake identities.
Yep.
And how they can actually, you know, kind of assimilate into the modern world.
Can we go on one thing? There's a panel in that interesting thing where it's quite upsetting because Captain America is meant to meet up with a child at a Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Ah, yes. Doesn't he cancel it or something?
He couldn't make it because, again, he's on the run from the law.
Yeah, he says here, just thinking about an appointment I had 10 minutes ago with a kid from the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
There we go.
I told him we'd play baseball in his backyard for a while, but the place is probably crawling with cape killers.
That was what they called them too. The S.H.I.E.L.D. agents that were known as the cape killers. And that was kind of bumming, a real bumming, because, again, look, this is the type of effects affecting the world and of the Superhero Registration Act. Was like,
so they get an alert, and it seems like they get an alert, something's happened, so they go to an actual facility known as the Griffin Meyer Chemical. So you've got Cable there as well, you've got Vision that was there, you've got Falcon and the Young Avengers, and then suddenly they're put under attack.
Yes.
And they're put under attack by, you know, you've got Iron Man there now, you've got Hank Pym, Miss Marvel, She-Hulk and The Thing, and this is where you actually first have the face-to-face between Iron Man and Cap.
We
just facing
fight.
Off, talking about what's actually going on here.
Hmm.
And that's where he's talking about, you know, time to surrender. Time to come in, Steve.
This is enough now. This has become incredibly silly. People are going to get hurt. It needs to stop.
And there's the exchange of the handshake. So Tony puts out the hand, puts the hand out, because he says, all I need is 5 minutes of your time, just to talk about my side of the story.
Yeah.
Cap agrees, shakes hands, and then he looks down at his hand, and then suddenly, bang, big explosion.
A MP3 device sort of releases off on...
it gives him an electric bolt, and then Goliath comes in. Then there's that panel there of Cap with the shield smashing Iron Man in the face. That's when you actually have the fight taking place now.
Heroes versus heroes here.
So
there's
you've got
no
Goliath,
villains.
And you've got Pym fighting. You've got... who we got here? You got Cable fighting there. You got Wonder Man at the time, and then here comes Spider Man with his iron costume on.
He grabs the Captain America shield and throws it back at him, or takes it off him, and it just gets bigger and bigger.
I love that shot there, the big right hand done by Iron Man, and that's the first time you see Cap's mask getting ripped off, blood coming down the side.
He literally breaks his jaw in that scene, and then there's that massive scene with Goliath.
Yes.
And Hank Pym.
Yeah, brawling as well.
It's giants.
Yeah.
Giants. And then there's the electric,
giant. Big bolt hits the ground.
Bends, and you're like, what is going on now? And I remember reading it going, what the shit? And then this electric bolt, and it was like, holy shit, that's Thor.
Yeah.
And you're like, it's old school Thor.
Old school Thor.
This is Thor from the old school days. And you're like.
So issue 3 ends with actually him standing there holding it up, and everyone's shot going, what the hell is actually going on here? So again, issue 4 then kicks off with Thor just standing there, not saying a word.
And everyone's looking at him.
You've
going.
Got Falcon trying to exchange, saying, what the hell is going on? All he says is, there's an exchange here with Dagger. So from Dagger and Cloak, she says, where have you been? Everyone thought you were dead.
Dead.
He says, no, Dagger, that would be you. And then throws the hammer, knocking down Cable. Dagger herself, also Daredevil, and also Sam Falcon.
Just rips him apart. He just knocks him with one swoop of his hammer. Unbelievable.
And then we cut back to the fight scene between Iron Man and Cap, where Iron Man says this line. He says, Cap, please don't get up. I don't want to hit you again. Your jaw is practically hanging off.
Yep.
Just surrender, and I'll get you the medical attention from the S.H.I.E.L.D. people out here. And then Cap follows it up with, you really think I'm going down to some pampered punk like you. Which again shows that kind of old school, new school mentality that Cap still had, even though he was there. Then he sends a little bit of a sonic blast that takes down Cap. And then I'll just quickly skip up to that big main scene, the one we're talking about with Goliath, where there's the exchange where Goliath goes mega tall in front of Thor, and before he can do anything, huge blast comes up. You turn the panel over and you notice a huge lightning bolt beam has gone through the chest of Goliath. Everyone's just standing there watching it, complete shock. Next thing you know, Goliath then tips and falls down, collapses.
He blasts an entire electrical hole through Goliath, instantly killing him. But Thor would never do that.
No.
Not the Thor that we would think. This is...
Well, it's like, why? Is he with... Oh, he must be with Iron Man.
He clearly
Thor's
is.
Not like this. Why is he doing this?
Again, because... Again, this is the... one of the theories, and this is also known that too, Thor was approached just before the series was started and said, no, I am leaving for Asgard and I do not want to have...
So what made him come back? What made him come back?
I don't want to be part of this. And it's like, well, hang on, what? This is... Why is he back? Yeah, blast through the hole.
Before it can do any more damage, Sue Storm actually makes her decision by actually putting the invisible bubble over the resistance and then allowing enough time for Cloak and Dagger to then transport them.
Especially out. Cloak, yeah.
And this is where you actually find out that it isn't Thor, because there's a line when Mr. Fantastic walks up to Thor and says, "Shut down code Richard Wagner, 1813 to 1883. And then Thor's head, he just stops. He pauses still.
Powers down.
Yeah.
So that's when we learn that that's not the real Thor.
No.
That Thor is a animatronic droid, a robot, an AI that was created by Reed Richards, Mr. Fantastic.
And then there's that scene later on in the comic we actually see when they have to bury Goliath, and he's still in mega form. He's
still in mega form.
His huge coffin. Oh, he's wrapped up, I think. Yeah, he's wrapped in the hands, and he's in the huge thing on the ground.
And that was like the first big thing, because they're like, hang on. We've killed off a major character in this in the comic book world. Something he didn't have his own name.
No, no.
Yeah, but he was part of, he was in the back of the
Avengers. He's been one of the original ones.
He was the original, and there's like
the one that Pym says to him, "Just a shame they couldn't shrink him down. I wonder how much his family had to shell out for these 38 burial plots."
38.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then Tony says, "Nothing. I took care of all the expenses. It was the least I could do." So even though he's like, in his mind, he's doing the right thing, but for someone looking out, it's not that. He's not doing the right thing because he's causing
this
death.
It's a bit of a subplot, and it's kind of quiet as well too. They didn't really pick more of it. But the woman that spat in the face of Tony Stark in issue one, they sort of just start to develop a relationship because she gives him the figurine.
Yes, the Iron Man
talk. The Iron Man talk, because her child that was killed was a massive fan of Iron Man.
Yep.
So that was sort of like, they didn't really pick more up on that, but it was just like
a little, just the start.
Yeah, it was just like,
and there's that kind of emotional scene where you see Sue Storm now leaving her kids now. So Franklin and the young daughter leaving a note to read and actually departing with Johnny Storm, thing staying abroad. And then it cuts to that main ending that I think we were talking about before with the Thunderbolts.
Yes.
Where you actually cut to the Avengers Tower, which features Tony Stark, also Mr. Fantastic, Reed Richards, and they're talking about their new idea. And you see a one panel shot of the Taskmaster. You see
Lady Deathstrike,
the Venom, of which I think was Matt Garden back then, because it wasn't Eddie Brock. Scorpion. Had Jack O'Lantern and a big smiling shot there of Bullseye, which was a fantastic issue there.
So good. And so this is what, unfortunately now, that Tony Stark was resolving to.
Yeah.
We haven't got enough heroes. Let's start using villains. Let's
bringing in our villains.
Let's villains now, and let's make them work for us, which unfortunately sort of backfires.
I think in issue 5, which we'll come up to now, which it shows that there's a scene where it shows Iron Man and Spider-Man fighting each other in the middle of this that looks like a hotel or a building.
Mm-hmm.
If you go back and read the Amazing Spider-Man tie-in, it shows that in more detail how they got there.
Because if you're reading this and going, why the fuck are they fighting?
Yeah.
It's actually just like, no, there is a major reason why they are.
Yeah.
They're going against each other. It's pretty big because it's simply... Tony Stark does throw down of like, well, what's stopping Venom?
Yeah.
Or what's stopping Mysterio kicking down the door and killing
and
Mary
Peter
Jane?
And Peter Parker just wants his old life back.
Yeah.
He just wants, I want to stop this.
You've effed my life up because I'm having constantly everyone... Yeah. I have to have cape killers in front of my Mary Jane's house right now in Aunt May's house because I am afraid that someone is trying
Avengers
to kill...
Oh, it's Avengers Tower they're actually fighting and looking at it here. And there's a scene there where Tony just wants to go back. And again, you know, he's not unable to do it.
So they're pretty much, they're fighting in the Avengers Tower, isn't it? Is that where you're...
Avengers Tower.
Interrupt.
For the unworking man. Oh, is it today, Thursday?
Today's Thursday.
I had to semi-work today.
You had to semi-work. So what, only half-assed, was it?
Oh, just a 5 out of 10 day.
Well, you get on, it was pretty much when you say, like, oh, you get on top and do most of the work.
I didn't say that. That's not my job, Al.
It's not my job, Al.
Oh, I'm finished.
Sorry.
Hop off. Get off.
Get off.
It's all done.
Is a towel.
Thanks, Mother. Original energy drink, new can logo. Give me that sponsorship.
No one wants to give you a sponsorship.
Why not?
Because you're a dumb asshole.
Anyway. Hashtag pod and family, guys. Hashtag beer club for men.
Be what?
What's that?
What was that last one?
Hashtag beard club for men.
Is that a thing that you're using
on Ginger Beard Man cast. Hashtag them.
Where the fuck is the next series episode of that, eh?
Huh? I have to watch a movie.
Yeah, I know. I gave you a suggestion. Watch it's on tonight. It's actually about an hour away. You could probably watch Guardians of the Galaxy. Nah, poofed up.
All right.
Anyway, where were we?
So we're up to issue 5 now. So we're kind of coming.
We've already discussed about more into this, but
so again, say the T-Bolts division, which again is the formation of the Thunderbolts or the new Thunderbolts, made up of all the villains that are Tony Stark and Maria Hill. Have been putting together. It does feature a really classic scene now in the sewer, which is when Spider-Man's escaping from Avengers.
Well, yeah, he's arranging. He's given up on Team Captain America. Team Iron Man. He's like, I'm done with him. I don't want to work with you anymore, Tony. And so they pretty much like, oh, is that the case? Is it Peter Parker?
Yes.
Let's get the most dangerous and craziest villains that we can, and they're going to come and get you.
Yeah.
And these are villains. Oh, do you want us to bring him? You want him to bring him in?
Yeah.
No, we're going to break his goddamn fingers. Mm. We're going to torture him. We're going to kill him. We are going to with his mind.
Yeah.
We're not bringing this kid back alive.
It's Tony. Almost like Suicide Squad kind of thing. How they would have done it in the last movie, but they weren't tracked though. I don't think in Civil War. As in, they couldn't do anything. And
that movie was terrible.
Unfortunately. Oh, I actually like that movie.
You know what they should.
It did go on a bit longer, but I liked it.
Though. Well, that's like every DC movie, though. Let's just cram more.
You know this guy, don't you? We're not going to do an origin. You already know them.
You already know that.
So in this sewer scene, if Jester's chasing after Spider-Man, chucking bombs at him, blowing him up.
Explosive yo-yos.
And then we have Jack-O-Lantern come up next to him. And I think at the time, I think the S.H.I.E.L.D.'s tracking what's going on so they can see what the actual villains are doing.
Yeah, they're allowing this. They're allowing this kid to be...
So then you see there's an awesome panel where Jack-O-Lantern is looking at Jester, then he turns his head to the side, and then his head just blows...
Pumpkin head.
...blows up. And then there's also a headshot to the Jester.
They killed the Jester off.
And then you see the classic white boots.
Yes.
And I remember when I first saw this, I knew it was straight away. I'm like, they're going old school Punisher...
But mind you, in this particular scene too, Peter Parker is under a hallucination. Like, he is seeing some stuff.
Yeah.
Like, he's been hit with a gas bomb. He was hit with a gas bomb that actually made him... And that's why he sees this white demon coming towards
him. And he says, I know you, skull-faced guy. I know you from way back, don't I? And then it's a really zoomed-in shot. Almost like an eagle or skull face coming towards the actual face there of Peter Parker.
And it's kind of a nice little throwback there. He says, wait a minute, I know you.
Yeah.
Because... the first time we'd had the Punisher was in the very
Amazing
first
Spider-Man, hired by the Jackal.
Exactly, to find him and kill him.
Yeah. We then cut to the Resistance, or Captain America's new headquarters, where you see all the heroes gathering together, talking about what their next actions are.
Is this Captain America being mended? Yeah. Like, he's sitting there...
In episode 4, he's getting mended, but this one here, he's all banged up, face is all scarred up, bandages, arm in a sling.
He looks like an old warrior. Yeah, but absolute shit kicked out of him.
And then the main panel was when you see Punisher rocks up now, get me a medic, carrying a bloodied and battered Spider-Man. His entire mask is nearly ripped off.
And what suit is he wearing?
The classic old Punisher arcade game suit.
But Spider-Man.
Oh, the Iron Spider.
He's wearing the Iron Spider.
The Iron Spider outfit.
Yep.
This is pretty cool because you start to see dissension start to build between the team. And I think what's her name? She was like the leopard character.
Cheetah.
You start to see her start to plant the seed now of her own doubt within the team, and then using her mobile phone.
She's a double agent. She was a double agent in this series. S.H.I.E.L.D. Yep.
You also find, I think, in Hell's Kitchen, Daredevil gets arrested and gets brought in as well. This is where you start to see the Wrath, the idea of the Wrath being displayed. There's an awesome scene between Tony Stark and Daredevil that takes place towards his last scene. I just want to read it out.
Go for it.
So there's a conversation here between... Tony Stark and Daredevil around the idea of Matt the Wrath and what it actually means. He says to him, what do we say? Can we talk? There's an exchange here between Daredevil and Tony Stark where he says, I guess that's 31 pieces of silver you've got there now, huh? Sleep well, Judas.
Judas.
Yes.
Very much actually, like how they did
and again, it's the comic of just Tony Stark standing there now in complete shock of what's just happened. The community is totally split now. The lines have been drawn. This is part of the part of the comic now where, again, you and I were thinking, is it going too far now? Like, what? It's brewing to something. Is it going too far here?
All our war is about to come.
Yep.
And how are we going to... How is this going to pan out?
And one of my favourite storylines was about to kick in that came in episode, I think it was six, issue six, The Avengers Initiative.
That's where it's coming
and out. And that's one of my favourite... I read every issue of that till it got cancelled.
Mm-hmm.
And this was an idea where they wanted to create a superhero team in every state in the United States.
That's right, every state.
Arizona, Utah, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, Texas, New York City. They would have their own super team that would cover it from the Mighty Avengers to remakes of original teams.
Yep.
And again, in issue six, you see the idea of people being made to be like heroes, learning how to run fast, shoot arrows, lift up tanks, fly, have their own power sets.
They were building a school. This was pretty much the like a military style of Xavier's school for the gifted.
Mm.
Yeah.
But a government initiative. Government initiative program.
Unfortunately. So
to create a new bunch of heroes.
Yep.
It's at this time too that Spider-Man is again alerted that he's back. He now knows that he's in the right team and also goes back to the classic red and blue costume.
Amazing Spider-Man.
Punisher's definitely a part of the team now trying to get intel on what they're trying to create. There's that awesome scene where he kills those two teammates when Punisher pulls out two guns.
They're two villains.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're two villains known as pretty much like, we don't want that. We want to work with the heroes.
Yeah.
And instantly is... as Frank Castle does, he blows these guys away, and then
Diamondback was one of them.
And he kills them in cold blood.
Yeah, in front of everyone with two Uzis
and Captain America.
Yeah, well, follows up. He shoots him and then goes, "What?" Next panel, Cap just comes in. Big, I think it's big right hand drops down.
He kicks the shit out of him.
And says, "You murderous piece of trash."
Yep.
And then you see on the ground, you know, Frank Castle say, but they're the bad guys, Cap. Thieves and killers. Shut up, says Cap. Smashes him with a head kick, then shield to the back of the neck.
Yep.
Stands over him and says, or Cap says to him, fight you, coward.
Yep.
Punisher says, not against you. So there's that classic respect there between two army vets. One from an old war and one from the Vietnam War.
Well, I'll give you a bit of a... In these Punisher War General series, there is a reason why he doesn't do it.
Yeah.
The reason why is because where this is kind of interesting how they did it, because Captain America in this series has been around since the 60s.
Yes.
So he was actually one of the boot camp leaders in Frank Castle's division.
Yeah. What did that? Was that an old comic book they did that?
No, no. This is in the War General series.
Oh, okay, yes.
And he pretty much the only
did
reason...
Did that come in after this, after Civil War?
No, it was during and then after they did a couple of issues.
Yeah.
And it was basically saying, like, the reason why Frank Castle would not harm Captain America, Steve Rogers, because he had so much respect for him.
Yeah.
And... Before, you know, because he was a boot camp leader and off he went to Vietnam and he saw some things. And then when he came back down to, when he came back to stateside to America and he watched his family was killed by a mob, that was the seed was planted there with Frank Castle becoming the Punisher. But back then, before he was just a young vet before he heading off to Vietnam.
And that almost led to, in future comics to come in the months to be, with him becoming Cap, didn't he?
He had the costume that was made.
Pretty cool costume. Mm. Very cool costume.
But it was. But they looked at him and just went, "Yeah, he only wore it once, and that was it." It was just like
so. One of the big things that comes to a head this time in the comic again, they cut to the Watcher discussing with Stephen Strange about being totally disconnected from it all.
Yep.
And the Watcher saying to him, "How bad, you know, something's going to happen."
Hmm.
We need your support. And again, he says, you know, he's locking himself away from it. He's no longer going to be involved.
Yep.
It then cuts to the new Rikers Island Penitentiary where such heroes as Daredevil have been placed. The Resistance jumps forward, including Cheetah, Falcon, Human Torch, The Vision, Storm, Wonder Woman, Hercules, Spider-Man, Luke Cage, Invisible Woman, and Cap. And then they're met again now by the Sentry. You've got Hank Pym, Mr. Fantastic, Wonder Man, Bullseye, She-Hulk, Iron Man, Radioactive Man, Elektra, Lady Deathstrike, Taskmaster. And this is where you have that first big exchange between all the teams in the middle here of the prison. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a really awesome scene we found out that the Hulkling was disguising as Hank Pym to get more of the resources,
which was kind
to get
cool.
access to it. And then again, you have the big exchange here with this awesome panel, everyone ready to go and face off, with Cap saying, "Now close your eyes, gentlemen, this might hurt."
Hurt. Yep.
And that leads us to issue number 7.
This is the last one.
Which was the last issue of the entire series. And this features a pretty awesome fight towards the end. I'm just going to load up all my notes here. So this one, again, it has that awesome cover. Now, again, there's a cover of this issue features Iron Man with his shield and Captain America, or Iron Man, hitting it with his roll pass array with a big power thing happening in the middle. And they actually use that scene in the Civil War movie towards the end where they collide together when he's holding it back like that.
Which was a bit of a fanboy moment. Yes. But the great thing in the cover of that, too, is that Iron Man is not wearing a mask.
Yes, he's unmasked. And all the heroes are almost dead around them.
Yeah, there was absolute pure chaos.
So the issue starts off with the Avengers Assemble, shattered by Captain America, with all the fights taking place now between all the different heroes. The Thunderbolts are there. You've got Venom and Lady Deathstrike brawling with Spider-Man. And then probably the big thing that comes up, again, Cloak and Dagger also there. And he actually picks up every hero. And he takes them from Riker's prison and then drops them down in New York City where they all start to fall down from the sky.
That's right. Someone grab onto someone that can fly.
I think Cap says it. If you can fly, grab him.
Grab a friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you watch that next panel, you see the destruction being caused. All everyone's hitting the ground. Cars blowing up, taxis flipping, people running.
This is the disregard that these two heroes did not give two shits, because they were on the other side of the world, and then pretty much Cloak pretty much picks everyone up.
Says him, let's get us out of here. If they just stayed there at Rikers and fought, no one else was going to get hurt.
Again, this is pretty much like and again, this is when you're fighting a common foe, or you're fighting a civilian casualties will happen, and they don't give a shit. And this basically, these are just two men, just like and their clan and their team are going, we don't give a shit. So as they're falling. And people are literally like, cars are blowing up, buildings are crumbling.
And they're just still brawling around.
They're still brawling.
And there's an awesome exchange. That's the scene where I think Iron Man's giving orders and I think Human Torch comes from behind. I think it's just a back palm strike by Iron Man. Boom, knocks down Human Torch.
Yep.
There's a really awesome fight also between Mr. Fantastic and Spider-Man. Where I think Spider-Man's doing flips and jumping and says, amazing. And then I think Spider does a big head kick.
Sensational.
Says spectacular. As he drops in.
So it was a really sort of a take back to the these people watching. Like,
and this is, again, also the guy Namor, who Alan was saying before, from the Illuminati, not the alumni guys, who decided not to be involved in the war, even though he was visited by Sue Storm, I think, in issue 4 or 5.
Yes.
Saying he's not going to be involved, then rocks up out of the water shouting out Imperious Rex, coming in with all his other members of his team. So now you've got almost 3 separate wars taking place.
Mm-hmm.
We're then joined by Thor, also Captain Marvel at the time, and you've got this huge war taking place, leading to the big fight again between Captain America and Iron Man. Vision ends up using one of his invisible power things to upset the reactor inside Iron Man's suit, shutting it down. He phases
inside him.
So now you have this single fight between two, humans, even though Steve is already enhanced, having this good scuffle.
It was great. It was pretty much like, let's take away Tony's power.
Yeah.
His nuclear suit that he's wearing.
Yes.
He is now one of us. He's just like me.
And one of my favourite scenes from the entire thing was the Hercules versus Thor fight that takes place here.
So good. And it's that old-timey type of, like, gladiators going at each other, or the old type of Thor style. And that he's
so this is
like,
on, I think it's page about 20 in it, where there's an exchange where Taskmaster's been knocked down, and Hercules says, "Thou dearest, thou wear the flesh of Odivision. I knew Thor. Thor was a friend of mine. And you know something, imposter." And you turn the page, "Thou art no Thor," and smashes the hammer. His whole head breaks.
He breaks
the
face.
You see the blonde hair. You see all the buttons inside there, all the cybernetics there. The arm kind of clenching as he's hitting the ground. But that's one of my favourite panels. When you see the hammer smashing through the head, you're having the true big fight here now just between Cap and Iron Man. Iron Man, as I said, is depowered. And there's a scene where Cap knocks down Iron Man,
and he's wailing on him like he's like. Yeah, and there's a scene from the Civil War movie as well, where they copy this, where he's pretty much like boom,
bang, bang, bang,
boom, just wailing into Tony Stark.
And Tony says to him, "What are you waiting for, Steve? Finish it."
Finish it.
Steve pauses and looks before the civilians jump in,
And they grab
and him. They start jumping onto
Cap. I love that.
Tackle him down and trying to stop it. Then you actually see the destruction that's taken place. So as the humans are holding him,
they're pinning down.
Yeah, and you see it. You see the buildings burning. You see the rubble everywhere. And Steve has realized, while dropping his shield, he's caused the destruction. I've caused this whole thing.
I have caused, like, what those actual reality star heroes wanted to be in issue one. And all those years, all those weeks ago, I have become one of them.
And his famous words here while crying at the time was, "They're right. We're not fighting for the people anymore, Falcon. Look at us. We're just fighting. People like Human Torch's there. Cap, what are you doing? They're going to throw us in jail if you surrender. Spider-Man comes in. We're beating them, man. We are winning back here." Cap then replies, "Everything except the argument." And they're not arresting Captain America. They're arresting Steve Rogers, and that's a different thing. And he puts his hands out like that and puts it in front of the two police officers. Classic scene here.
Very hardcore. It was just like, wow. You know, if you were reading this and you had no idea, it was just like, hang on, they're just going to someone has to die. Yeah. Someone has to, in this battle. And then it was just, they threw it on its head and they picked it up down. They gave you a shock and then went and they gave you a shock about going, that one man who was like, "I'm against the Registration Act," but then turns around and has a realization of going,
"Yes,
oh my God, I have become everything I've hated."
We caused the same damage that the New Warrior did at the start of the entire thing.
I become like them. Yep. And so he pretty much was like, "No, I give up."
So the last really cool panel too, as he's being whisked away by the two police officers, is a scene where you see Frank Castle standing there, looks down at the ground and picks up Cap's mask and looks at it, which again is a bit of a prelude to what would have taken place a bit later. We start to see the repair taking place between the city. We see the Avengers Initiative starting to take place. We see we've got Miss Marvel. We've also got the Wasp, Sentry, Wonder Man, and the Black Widow forming the Mighty Avengers team.
Yes.
You see the new teams being built in Texas, all across the country. You start to see the heroes and also the villains being imprisoned. You see, I think Spider-Man goes back to the classic Venom costume as well for a little bit back in Amazing Spider-Man. There was a good arc that featured the Kingpin that happened a couple of months after this main story.
Sure did.
And it really is, the main thing that I see coming out is the exchange between the mother that actually lost her son.
Yep.
And her and Tony start talking about what the future holds for in terms of what's happening post-Civil War. I'll just read some things that he says here at the very, very end.
Yeah, last couple of panels.
Here. So she says, "You're a good man, Tony Stark. You've risked everything to get us to this place, but I truly believe you've given people heroes we can believe in again." He replies with, "Oh, the best is yet to come, sweetheart. That's a promise."
And that's how it ends. That's how Civil War ends. And he was to basically say he takes over S.H.I.E.L.D., doesn't he?
Yep, and so he ends up becoming the new director of S.H.I.E.L.D. Lots of things happen very fresh. If you actually were reading the Fallout comic, you did have the confession that took place, but that was kind of more post the Captain America arc, which featured the actual death of Captain America, which happened not long after this story.
Which was a big thing too, because they threw, that was also media-based as well. Yes. So it was kind of fun back in 2006, 2007, where it was basically, if you're a comic book reader, you're like, that's on the news.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was pretty much thrown that, like
Death of Superman.
Yes.
Back in, when they did that.
Mm. In the 90s. When they said, like, they've taken the mask off Spider-Man. Yeah. And then about at least maybe 5-6 months later, we're killing off Captain America. We're killing off, like, the big hero. The one that, the Americana hero that we're going to kill.
I remember this too, like, as we were saying before about Minotaur, which is a comic book pop culture store in Melbourne. Like, we didn't know, there was no spoilers. Like, we didn't know how the comic was going to end. And I remember we would just pass issues around. And I still remember all of us reading the final issue and going, holy crap, what's happened here? And then the Cap storyline. Because I wasn't really an active Captain America comic book reader.
Well, you're more of a, you weren't like more huge on Marvel. You're a DC guy, of course.
But then when you had the death of Captain America and who did it, who was involved in it, you had, you know, Bucky Barnes was involved, you had Falcon was there,
everyone had their own issue in that. Sharon Carter, it was the set.
That could be a potential topic that we might talk about in, you know, months or years to come.
I did collect those comics.
Yes,
the death of the death of Captain America.
So quick question, now that we've kind of spoken about the main arc, who was right, whose side originally, and whose side would you be on now if you were to reread it?
At the beginning, when I first started, when I was like, what's going on? Yeah. You know, Tony Stark is a madman. This is not fair on these heroes right now to be saying, you need to registrate with the government. Yep. You need to come in line and you need to listen to us, what we have to say.
Quick impulse response.
Pretty much. It was just like, you need to do it. And I saw this and it made me angry. Yeah. It was just like, how dare Tony Stark become like this, you know?
Yeah.
Captain America is standing up for the working man, the man who fights and stays like that. You know, he works for everybody.
Yeah.
But as you're reading it and getting through it too, you're looking at it that once great Americana hero, he's the villain.
Mm.
And it goes, it fucks with your mind. It basically says like, so you're going for the villain, are you? And me as a person who's grown up, again, going for the hero, always barracking for the hero. Even talking about wrestling, always going for the baby face, and instead of the heel. It was just how I was molded into a person. And then I found myself like, Captain America, you're the man. What the fuck am I doing?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I am going for the villain. I am going for the vigilante.
Because he's getting aggressive though. Like you see the way he literally, they took that war character that you don't really see in the normal comics and made him revert back to that, leading his troops, as he said. He even mentions them, calls them troops at the end of issue 7. Stand down troops, he said.
Stand down.
So it's not stand down heroes, it's stand down troops. So again, he's like he's in a war.
He's pretty much nowhere. He's been licked and he's gone.
So they make him a lot more aggressive and a lot more of a leader type character, but it's like he just doesn't understand where Tony's coming from, and that's that old school mentality that he remembers where he come from.
And he's selfish. Now, I've said this about an hour ago. Captain America became very selfish. He became very self-absorbed by saying, I'm standing up for what's right and I believe in.
Yeah.
But for me.
Yeah.
Not everyone. And then it says, but all these young heroes here, they should be, you know, allowed to be, not be part of the Registration Government Act.
I think, if I were to think of it now, 2006 when I read it to 2017 now, I reckon it's a different time. If Tony were to do that now, I think the idea of digital security, it's not there.
Nope.
So if they were to take everyone's secret identities, they know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
How protective is all these things that people can access now?
People can get
the cloud.
The cloud, everything. Yeah. Some person can hack into.
I
understand where
he's coming from, but I don't think the security's there.
There wouldn't be today. People could just hack into their personal information.
Can you ever really trust your own associate in that whole SHIELD thing?
Never.
Agents placed in there. You got people from Hydra placed in there.
But that's the thing, and you look up, and then the next minute you've got a scene that's from Identity Crisis.
Yeah.
Where someone finds out the true identity.
Definitely do one of that.
I'd love to.
That's my favorite. One of my favorite DC comics. Full on Crisis.
But again, you find out the true identity of a hero, and you go.
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna. You need to die because you put me in jail. You put me in jail for more than 8 to 10 years. I will never get those years back. Yeah. I wasn't there for my father's funeral or my mother's funeral. I'm going to take it out on you. And the only way I know how I can do it is by taking someone you love away. That's what
I think they're kind of going in with the Spider-Man Homecoming. I think Vulture does that with Peter Parker. He knows who, you know, May Parker is and threatens him in the new movie, Homecoming, saying, you know, kid, back up. Or, you know, I'll take out your loved ones, really. Take out himself and take out his close friends and also Aunt May.
Well, that's the one thing.
It was a big comic, and I think for the time it ran for, I think it was a year.
Yeah.
Maybe not a year. Probably 7 months, but I know it went from 2006 to 2007.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some big other storylines happened later, like, you know, probably the next big arc, I think, was Secret Invasion.
Secret Invasion with the Skrulls. It was a
very good one. We could probably talk about that in a while to come, and also Original Sin, which happened a couple of years ago. Maybe we might even revert back and talk about Secret War, like the old Secret War.
That were the good times.
Where they go to Battle World.
Yep, and we first see the symbiote.
Symbiote suit come from there, and Doctor Doom was a pretty main character, I think. Not Doctor Doom, was a main character back then. What did I say?
You said Doctor Doom.
I said Dictor Doom.
Dictor Doom.
No, I thought I said Dictor.
Oh, I'll just go check my Dictor Doom.
Like an iPad.
It's like an iWatch you put on your dick.
What do you got there on your hand?
So the new, well, it's not new. It's been around for a while.
It's a tracker.
Well, yeah, it's a heart tracker.
Big brother.
He's watching you. You're watching me. So there we go, Thomas. Just moving along with you when you become a creepy asshole. So yeah.
So there, guys. I hope you enjoyed our discussion of the 7 issues involved in the main story arc of the Civil War. But
It was kind of nice that we had 58. 58% of the voting.
Well, that's 58% of the total votes of 113 voted for Civil War. So we hope we did it justice, guys, that you enjoyed listening to this topic. That means like 60, 70 plus people voted for that.
And so it was kind of cool. I mean, when you said, all right, first up is the Marvel Civil War. And I'm like, we're not talking about the movie.
No.
We're talking about the comic book. No. I'm like, holy shit. I've got to revert back to myself from
and that's the thing. 11 years ago. A lot of the ideas that I've got for future episodes is around our childhood. Things that we watched or played or, you know, read and bringing them back. Because there's people I know that I've chatted to on Twitter and social media that love that stuff, who are into the old school stuff. And want to hear a modern day take on things like old 64 games or SNES games or Mega Drive games.
It's gone.
Or old school comics.
Yeah.
But now it's time us to talk about the third issue of The Wonderful World We Live In. For those of you who are unfamiliar with this topic, the last two episodes of the Brocast,
yes,
you can check us out on Twitter at The Brocast and also send us an email at TheBrocast2@gmail.com. We go out and we find weird stories. Alan finds one, I find one. We don't discuss it. And then we read it out live on air to see what the reactions are.
We'd like to see a reaction. So going back to maybe the most recent stories, like, the first one I did back in issue. Listen, I sound like I'm reading
episode comments number
again.
Five.
That episode was. Number five was the chain of pubs where a man was going into the men's urinals, and and pretty much in the title of that was "Man Finds Piss Dungeon in Pub,"
yes,
and which totally freaked you out.
Yeah, I every time I go out now, I look. I stand at the urinal, I look, and I go, no eyes there, and then I go about my business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad I did that to you. And then you talked about the...
That's just more creepy. I kept saying the post stuff. I wanted to know, how did he get home after?
I didn't do anything!
But imagine going to the pub with your mates, and then this guy runs past you, just covered in urine, running out.
The guy who's like, excuse me, there's a guy, I just saw an eye, and an eyeball, and it was looking around.
It's just creepy.
Yeah. And you spoke about the man who reverted back to being a
six-year-old girl.
Transgender girl.
Yes.
And then the most recent episode I spoke about a small, unfortunate gentleman.
Yes.
Old timer, a Japanese man,
yes,
a Chinese man, found dead in his apartment by 6 tons of pornographic materials, like dirty magazines. They fell on him. Yeah, we were led to believe that he had a heart attack and he was also crushed. And your mum was the most hucked up video I've ever seen on this entire planet. Yeah. And it was a 180 because I grossed you out with the piss dungeon.
Yeah.
And now I watched this young man with his legs being folded back. I went, I'm done.
Yeah, don't push weights up, mate.
Don't push weights. Oh, and remember, you sending me the link.
Not so hard, mate. Just lower the weight.
Do you lift? Not anymore.
He can't walk now.
He can't walk, you know? That was a mess.
So I think we're 1-1 then for each other.
We're pretty good. So,
have you got your one?
I am ready.
Would you go first?
Well, let's see how we've seen it. It was like, I grossed you out in the first one.
Yeah.
You grossed me out in the second one. So I think the one who gets grossed out
Should do the next one.
So I will go first because you grossed me the hell out.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to, straight off the bat, here we go. Here we go. I'm just going to give you the title.
Yeah.
49-year-old man sticks a 1.6-metre long eel into his anus to treat his constipation. That's right.
Oh, God.
That's right. We're going down that hill today, people. Are you coming with us? Just switch off now, pretty much. Okay. A factory worker from southeast China put a half-metre eel into his anus to bid his cure of his constipation problem. Ugh. Sorry to interrupt right here, too. This was gifted to me from a work colleague of mine named Sarah. Yeah. Shout out to you. I know you don't listen because you. Who pretty much, I said to her, going podcasting with my brother tonight. She looks at me and goes, that's gay.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Well, fuck you too, Sarah. Yeah. So, top bird, but she actually read this out to me. And I said, send me the link. Yeah. This needs to be talked about. 49-year-old Mr. Liu was rushed to his local hospital after claiming he had stomach aches last week. Doctors were shocked when they found an Asian swamp eel in his stomach along with feces and food residue.
Sick eye.
Yep. Mr. Liu from Gazlo 49 stuck a 1.64 feet long eel into his anus to bid his cure for his constipation. There's pictures.
I don't get that though. How is that? How is that meant to work?
Yeah. Liu lied that the eel went into his anus by mistake when the doctors spotted the fish.
I can explain.
Wait, there you go. Imagine, okay.
The x-rays. Yeah, yeah. What's that there?
What the fuck is that? Hang on. Charlie, come in here. What? I'm just in, no, just put your sandwich down.
Look at this.
Look at this shit.
What's this?
Is that an eel? Oh, how long is that? Six.
Yeah.
He said he was by mistake. He sat down.
How does that work?
Yeah. According to reports on the Gulagan television, Liu visited the hospital claiming that he had constipation problems. Doctors diagnosed the man with a bowel obstruction and recommended they would have to stay in hospital for further treatment. Liu refused and decided to resort to the ancient method of treating constipation by putting an eel into his anus to clear the bowel, to clear the blockage.
How?
Ancient Chinese secret. It's like, hang on, I've got a really bad problem with my anus, with constipation.
Oh my God.
Hang on. Eel. The fucking eel. All right.
I think they find an eel, yeah.
Next door's got an eel. They won't mind, eh? Junk's defense.
I'm not going to the pharmacy.
Oh, fuck no. That. Right. $7 for Metamucil.
No.
Yeah, put an eel up my ass.
That's terrible.
Ancient Chinese secret.
How old? 49.
Yeah, he's 49. Oh, like, yeah,
he's smart enough to go to
come the on.
Pharmacy.
However, the eel caused a major stomach ache and he was rushed to the Gulzan Dunlan Hospital. Doctors exclaimed that Liu's abdominal area and found a hole in the duramen area.
Yeah.
They were then shocked to find the eel in his intestines. So we went
so
up.
How,
his,
so the eel went up.
Yeah, up
so
his
how
bum.
How did the eel come down? How did he get him out?
Well, let's read more.
Oh God!
They removed the half a meter, as it was in quotes here, of the 1.64 meter long Asian swamp eel.
Swamp. So I didn't just go to his neighbor's house. He went looking for this fella.
I'm going through the swamp. Down by the bayou. Oh my.
Oh.
Weighing at about 2.5 grams. 250 grams. That's 0.55. Yeah. With the head and 3 to 5 centimeters wide.
Yeah. Yeah, nah.
No. They also found feces and food residue in this body. So this poor bastard of a thing.
But how did he get it in there?
Yeah, here we go.
That's what I'm trying
here
to
we go. Here, Lou said that he found an old, found a folk medicine belief that putting an eel up your anus could clear the bowel blockage. You know what you should do? I've got a really bad stomach ache. You know what you should do?
What's that, Mark?
Got a grandfather a couple of years ago who had a really bad stomach problem.
Yeah.
Come here. Put an eel up his anus.
Oh.
Oh yeah.
Like what sort of eel though? Normal one?
Swamp.
Oh, swamp one. Yeah.
Big bugger.
You're
going to find them. Yeah, you're going to have to go out and you have to fish for them. All right? Dr. Zhou Zingong, surgeon at the hospital, told reporters that, look at this. This guy is going out to the patient.
To the public.
Hello? Yeah, me. How you going?
I'm that guy.
I'm that asshole. Told reporters that the patient didn't explain the cause of his stomach ache when he was admitted to the hospital. We asked Mr. Liu when he was spotted the eel in his stomach. He said the eel went into his anus by mistake. But after surgery, he told that he accidentally put it up there.
Oh, accidentally.
There's this quote here. I accidentally put the eel inside my anus. And he did it by himself.
He also bought a t-shirt.
Yeah. I survived the eel.
I
survived the eel up my anus. That's a broadcast special
I'm
shirt.
I'm making a shirt for that.
Yeah. He also added to the situation could have been much worse if he had waited to come to the hospital. She's like, oh, fuck, my stomach hurts. No, I really want to watch this next episode of Downton Abbey. Lou explained that the doctors that he used the eel to treat the symptoms instead of staying in hospital. The eel was found dead when the doctors took it out, but were unsure if the eel was alive when Lou put it in.
How would it have treated it if it was dead?
I put it up his. I found the swamp eel. I hit it on the head,
and then I put it in.
Just go a bit quicker, will you? Yeah. Lou is now recovering in hospital.
Oh, good on him.
Good on him.
Good on you, Louie.
Yep. Good on Mr. Lou. Okay. And that, again, in the title, which go. I always love doing, 49-year-old man sticks a 1.6 feet long eel into his anus to treat his constipation. The wonderful world we live in.
All right. So I've got my one. But I'm thinking I actually won't read...
Sorry to interrupt. This was from April 20th, 2017. So this is just fresh. This is a week ago. This is fresh swamp
eel. Should I read the headline of mine or read the story?
It's up to you. I'll read the story. You read the story.
So this was from April 24, guys. Only three days ago.
Yeah.
Here we go. An ecologist's dream to watch orangutans in their natural habitat quickly turned into his worst nightmare after he was savagely attacked and raped by a 400-pound orangutan in the jungle of Borneo.
Where you headed off to, Borneo.
Zach O'Reilly, a young 26-year-old from Ireland, who presently studying biology at Dublin City University, and has been a Greenpeace activist for the past 3 years, had always dreamed of seeing orangutans in their natural habitat and was a strong advocate against the palm oil industry, which is a threat to the endangered species. The young man was quickly brought... Actually, no, I'll cut back up here.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the main bit here?
Get to the juice.
This is a quote from his mother, because she went on TV and said, he always dreamed of seeing orangutans in the jungle. I used to tease him, saying he looked like one and that he'd find his soulmate in the jungle. Never would I have thought he would be sexually assaulted by one.
Mum.
Here's a picture of him. Just there.
Oh, Jesus, yes. He looks like an orangutan.
The young man was quickly brought back to a missionary hospital
near
Kilimantan, where he lay unconscious for many hours and where doctors found traces of internal bleeding.
Oh.
Kylie O'Reilly, the victim's mother, says she used to... Yeah, that's that quote. They used to tease him.
You look like an orangutan, don't you, darling? Come over here, darling. So look at me son here, right here. Doesn't he look like an orangutan? He'll probably pick off one day. That's the only way you're going to have sex. No girl will find you attractive enough, but the only way you're going to be doing it is with a gorilla. Or with an orangutan
Kibak behind you. Kibak Manuk, one of the tour guides...
One more time, what's your name?
Kibak Manuk?
Manuk!
One of the tour guides present on the dramatic trip says he had warned various tourists to be careful around the animals.
Don't go up to them. Why?
I specifically told him to wear a hat and hide his orange hair, that it could entice the orangutans. I'm not surprised of what has happened. I warned him many times. He did not listen, he told reporters.
What did I tell you? Look at him. Look at one of those. He's just asking for trouble.
It was a very dangerous for people with orange hair. The males get very excited. A male followed us deep into the jungle, many kilometres. He was very aggressive. There is nothing I could do. A spokesperson for the Borneo Tourism Board said it was the first time an orangutan has physically assaulted a tourist on one of their jungle treks. We are deeply horrified and saddened by the whole affair. We have offered the young victim a free tour if he ever wishes to come back again, and we'll provide increased security for our travellers in the future.
We've got this special pair of underwear.
Sorry, mate.
Yeah.
Free tour, though.
Free tour. And a new pair of underwear.
A similar incident has previously reported in a Jakarta zoo in 2014 when a young redhead woman was hospitalized after an orangutan broke out of its cage and tried to mate with the visitor, resulting in the death of the animals by the zoo employees. So this story dropped, guys, on the 24th of April, 2007.
What's it called?
It's called Irish Tourist Savagely Raped by a 400-pound Orangutan. The wonderful world we live in. We both featured animals.
We both went animals there.
You went eel and I went orangutan.
And it's unfortunately, it's going up the bum.
Mm.
That took a while for you to process. Yeah. Well, hang on.
Oh, my God. But no, very good. So there's, guys, Wonderful World We Live In, episode number 3.
I always find it, sorry to interrupt, that we always do something really great. Like, we've just done an amazing episode about Civil War. And it's like, now we're talking about people putting things up their bums.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, gets a bit, just makes you a bit dirty.
I just want to give a bit of a shout out before we finish up. Guys, a bit of a throw out to some other podcasts that I've had a chance to have a bit of an exchange with on Twitter. Shout out first one to We Have a Hulk Podcast. You can download We Have a Hulk Podcast on Apple iTunes. You can check them out on Twitter at We Have a Hulk Pod. That's again, it's at We Have a Hulk Pod. They cover things like comic books and also TV shows. Shout out to the Naked Porch Podcast. You can check them out at The Naked Porch on Twitter.
What an awesome name.
Talk Nerdy to Me at the TNTM The Show on Twitter.
Nice.
Talk Nerdy to Me. Also to the Beard Brothers at Beard Brothers _ UK on Twitter. Also to the AMZT Productions. Check them out on at MNZT Radio on Twitter. Also to Mac and Grew. You can also check them out on Twitter at Mac and Grew UCast, or podcast. Also a shout out to Nerd, Nerdify. NERDIFI. Check them out at NERDIFI _MCR. And also Jerry and Cal, also check him out on From the Bottom 504
from
on
the Twitter. Bottom.
That's Jerry and Cal Podcast. Any closing comments, Al, for today's episode?
Fantastic episode, this one. I really enjoyed that, the being on the sidelines of going, hey, next one coming up, Al, do you want to know? Yes. Like I said this about nearly an hour ago and a bit more. Do you want to find out? Well, no, I want to be like everyone else. I want to wait to see what we're going to talk about. And it was kind of exciting. Like, again, I'm repeating myself. Oh, yes, we're going to talk about Civil War.
Yes.
But then there was the other throw of it. Like, no, we could possibly call
Return to Oz.
Return to Oz, like the freaky Disney movie. Or
we might do pro wrestling.
Pro wrestling. Let's talk about, and then the idea I came to you when you said, that we, you know, it's on the poll. Yep. Let's go back and watch one of our favourite matches from the olden days, or the olden days, and or again, today.
They will be on feature, you know, future episode Twitter poll choices.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you again to everyone who voted, all 113 people that presented a vote.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Without you guys voting, we wouldn't have topics and we wouldn't be doing this show.
No.
We want to make this a very interactive podcast where you tell us what you want to hear. You choose from those three. Next month, I've got some pretty good ones. In regards to them, though, episode or Twitter poll episode choice number one will drop next Thursday, then the following Thursday, and then the one after that. And then for 1 week, you guys can put all your votes in. Some really good topics. So tune in next Thursday to see what they are. To check us out on Twitter, you can check us out at the Brocast, BROKAST. You can download all previous six episodes on Apple, iTunes, and SoundCloud.
5, 6 are probably the best ones, and probably now 7
are
probably
the best. You don't like the other ones.
I don't like the other ones that much, man.
Why?
Sitting in the car, the audio is terrible. You're just talking.
Triple threat rule sucked. That's the one with Nathan where it was just
terrible audio. That was the only time that Nathan, our brother.
It was a 15-minute podcast, too.
There's other stuff though, isn't there?
The fatherhood one was good. Yeah, and then we went to childhood video games and then cartoons. And now this one, the Civil War. And there's many more to come.
Yes.
As we know, we do this show monthly. You can interact with us on Instagram. Also send us an email at thebrocast2@gmail.com. You can check me out at the Mr. MMA Action Podcast. Also on the Ginger Beard Man Cast. Both of them on Apple iTunes and SoundCloud.
I'm still waiting for the Ginger Man Cast one.
I have to watch a movie. I told you that.
Oh, I didn't see you there. Oh, there was an orangutan chasing after me with an eel. bringing it together. That's what I do best.
Where can people find you?
You can find me on a podcast with that one guy. I'm not going to... What is it? Podcast one, guy, two.
Podcast... One guy, one.
Yeah, you can find me on there. I'm not very active on that one as much because I'm glad that you've sort of taken that over for me.
You've actually reached over 700 followers too.
Which is kind of cool, that is. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I do have my own Twitter. Yes. So if you want to find me on Twitter and you reach out, because I am quite active on this one, and that's AlanRoss84.
There we go, at Twitter, guys.
At AlanRoss84. If you want to reach out to me, I would like to use that one as mainly. I use that one quite actively when I'm talking about wrestling or if I'm promoting our show or your shows that you do. I will try to find some time. I mean, I've been talking quite a bit of going, I'll do an episode, but I really have not found some time just yet. But there is a new Mr. MMA Fight Companion.
Yes, we will be doing a Fight Companion in June.
Yes.
So we're going to do one last weekend, but we couldn't do it because of work and things. We're going to do one in May, but it's Mother's Day.
Yes.
So we're going to push that back to a Fight Companion on the 4th of June. So we should have...
4th of June? Look at
I think it's the 4th of June.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's our next one. So that's episode, I think, 77.
Nice.
So if those of you who like...
Kind of bummed that we couldn't do 69 because the entire time we've gone, 69 episodes! That's where you put them in your mouth.
With an eel.
With an eel, with an orangutan.
All right, guys, thanks to you once again for checking out our show. Check it again, Apple, iTunes, SoundCloud, also on Twitter, Instagram.
iTunes. Drop us a...
A review.
A review, please.
Rate us as well. Let us know what you guys think. Because, again, we don't know. You know, we just put it out there. You guys may like it. You might want something a bit different. You tell us. You can email us. You can direct message on Twitter.
We are on Facebook.
Yes.
But I did suggest to you, Thomas, that maybe we close the
Facebook down. Yeah, we don't really use
that a lot. So if you want to reach us more, Twitter is the way. I'm finding now that myself, if I want to socialize with more people, Twitter is the way.
Yeah. Well, I use Twitter nearly every day. Probably Facebook I don't as much with the podcast. So again, we're very active on Twitter. You should check us out again at The Brocast Podcast or The Brocast, THEBROKAST. This has been episode 7 of The Brocast, and we look forward to episode number 8 dropping on the last Thursday of May. 3 new topics all coming out in the next 3 weeks.
Vote.
Thank you guys for your support. Thank you, guys. See you next month. And vote, vote, vote. So good evening, good afternoon.
Good morning.
See ya.
Peace.